This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
So if you want to live dangerously and you want to have an adventurous life, I don't think there's any life that's more adventurous than just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hello and welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. God has an amazing plan for your life, but in order to take hold of it, you have to take a risk and trust God. Let me take some time to encourage you, and then I'll be back to answer some of your questions. Tonight we're going to talk about taking a risk, because anybody who's not ever willing to risk will never do very much in this world. And in all probability, you'll end up being quite bored with your life. Couple things that I said last night that I don't want you to forget is walking by faith is taking step one before you know what step two is. My gosh, I have done that so many times in my life. After a few times, you get a little more used to it and it's not quite as scary, but taking a step of faith is stepping out to do something when you don't know how it will be provided for, but you believe with all your heart that it's what God has told you to do. I'll give you one example from my life. When God started putting it in my heart to teach a Bible study, a home Bible study, I had a full-time job and I made as much money as Dave did. I had a really good job and we didn't have any money pressure. But I didn't know the Bible very well, and so I needed to study. And I didn't really have time to study with having a full-time job and three children, and so God started putting it on my heart to quit my job. But I was not an irresponsible person, and that just didn't make any sense to me, because I could get out the calculator and figure out that our bills were more than our income would be if I didn't work. And so I did what we do so often. I kind of bargained with God and I quit my full-time job and got a part-time job. Come on, do you ever try to obey God part-time? Part-way? Well, I don't want to do that, but how about if I do this? That way I'm still obeying you, but I've still got a backup plan. Come on, maybe God is wanting some of you to let go of your backup plan and trust him completely. So I got fired from my part-time job. And I was not the kind of person that got fired from a job. I mean, I was a good worker. And I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, I could not do anything right at that job. Everything I touched broke down. And I mean, it was just crazy. So it became obvious that God had completely blocked my way and that he meant that I was to lay down that job and trust him. Well, to be honest, back then I was just trusting God for my kids' shoes, and we were $40 a month short on paying our bills, and so it wasn't like this huge sum of money that we needed, but we needed a little bit of extra money to come in miraculously every single month from somewhere. And so I took that step of faith to do that. And you know, sometimes we think when we take a big step of faith that, boy, God is just going to load in the reward and the blessings right away. I mean, look at this sacrifice I made, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do for me tomorrow. Well, for six years, we had to believe God. Literally, when you hear people say, I was believing God for my socks and underwear, I was believing God for my socks and underwear. I didn't know then why I had to go through all those hard things, but I know now, because I can tell you now, we need a lot more than a $40 a month. I mean, when you're on television in two-thirds of the world, let me tell you what, honey, you got some bills to pay. I mean, all these stations don't just love me and say, we'd like to put you on free. There are a few, but not very many. And so 500 employees and buildings and offices and 8 different countries and on and on and on. I don't even bother to try to look at what we need anymore because it just would make you want to faint. But you know what? All the bills are paid. The building's paid for. We're never late paying our TV bills. You know why? Because God is faithful, and I believe that what God orders, he pays for. But I don't think that anybody will ever do anything of any magnitude without getting some tests. And so you step out, and boy, you've put your foot in it, and now you're there. And you know, it's tough when you're in the middle of something and you don't know how to go forward and you can't go backwards because you've left everything. There's nothing back there to go back to, and you can't get to where you want to be, and you're just stuck there waiting for God to do what only God can do. But it brings you so close to God when all you have to depend on is him. So if you want to live dangerously and you want to have an adventurous life, I don't think there's any life that's more adventurous than just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, you may not like every place he takes you, but you won't be bored. If you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will not be bored because he is one creative guy that comes up with more things than what you can even possibly imagine. Amen? And so Satan tries to attack us in so many different ways to get us not to take those steps of faith and not to do what God wants us to do. And one of the areas where Satan attacks us more than anything else is in how we feel about ourselves. Now, just very seriously, I want to tell you that a lot of people's problems, more than anything else, your problem is you just don't like yourself. And a lot of people that don't like themselves don't even know they don't like themselves. And they blame everything on everybody else. Well, if you wouldn't do this, I'd be happy. And if you would do that, I'd be happy. And if you didn't do this, I'd be happy. But you know, if you can get happy with who you are and happy yourself, then you can spend your life making somebody happy rather than being mad at them because they're not making you happy. Amen? And so I finally came to grips with the fact in my life that I wasn't able to love anybody because I didn't love myself. I couldn't have mercy on other people. I was very legalistic because I was very legalistic with myself. I didn't receive God's mercy. And you can't give away what you don't have. And so one of the things I'm going to ask you to do as part of your journey here at this conference is somewhere along the way, get in touch with how you feel about yourself. Do you like yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you respect yourself? Because here's the bottom line. What you believe about yourself is much more important than what anybody else believes about you. Come on. What you believe about yourself is much more important than what anybody else believes about you. And if you know who you are in Christ, then you don't have to live as a people pleaser. Satan regularly attacks our worth and value. You know, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, the account is in Luke chapter 4, two different times Satan said to him, well, if you are the Son of God, well, if you are a child of God, then why do you have these problems? Well, if God loves you, then why hasn't he answered your prayers? He's always trying to attack our worth and our value and get us thinking that God doesn't love us. And so we want to talk for just a minute about how your self-image affects your future. Because adventure requires boldness, and boldness requires confidence. And confidence requires a healthy self-image. So how do you see yourself? 2 Samuel chapter 9, the first 8 verses. And David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? What we need to see out of that is God is saying, is there anybody that I can show kindness to for Jesus' sake? God's not good to us because we deserve it, because we don't. But he's good to us because Jesus deserved it, and we believe in him, and we're joint heirs with him. And he said, everything the Father has is mine, and everything that's mine, I'm giving it to you. And now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, but he is crippled in his feet. Now, there's a story behind this. I'm not going to get into all this. He actually had fallen down the steps when Saul and Jonathan died, and it was announced that David was going to become the king, and people were afraid, and he fell, and that was how he became crippled. But nonetheless, here's this young boy that was the king's grandson, the son of the new king's covenant friend, but he spends his life in hiding in a place called Lodibar. Have you ever lived in Lodibar? I was trying to think of a way to be cute, and I thought, well, I've been low at Debar before. Can you imagine me hanging out at the bar, depressed because my life was so bad? Thank God I'm not at Lodibar anymore. Amen. And the king said, well, where is he? And Ziba said, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodibar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodibar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, boy, these people had some names, didn't they? Came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I am your servant. Now, you got to watch this. And David said to him, don't fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for such a dead dog as I am? Now we see the real problem. It was his own poor self-image that kept him from going to the palace, boldly going in and saying, I am King Saul's grandson. Jonathan was my father, and I have rights. How many of you, because you have a poor self-image, never go boldly to the throne? Come boldly to the throne, the Bible says. Well, God, if you'll just do this, and if you'll just do that, try to keep that phrase out of your prayers, because the word just means just enough to barely get by. Well, God, if you'll just help me tonight, I don't want you to just help me tonight. I need help every single moment of every single day. If you'll just get me out of trouble this time, Lord. No, you're going to get in trouble again tomorrow. And tomorrow, and the next day, and you're going to need help then too. So why don't you just go ahead and admit it and say, God, I need help every moment of every day. Please don't ever leave me for one second, because I need you. I need you. You're going to have to get a little bit bolder if you want to get very much out of God. You got to ask for a lot. Well, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit is exciting, even though it can feel risky. Many of you have questions about stepping out in faith, and Ginger's here with some of those questions that, by the grace of God, I prayerfully will answer.
Well, we have some really good questions today, and it's a scary thing oftentimes when God asks us to do something, and sometimes we're not sure what he's asking us to do. So this first question comes from Cheryl. I'm 65 and I can't retire. I want to switch jobs, but I'm too afraid my age makes me unemployable. Can I make a change at my age without losing it all?
I think you can absolutely make a change at any age. You know, I would probably not recommend that she quit her job if she really has to work until she has another one secured, because that's just wisdom. Mm-hmm. But certainly go for it. You know, age is really a number. It's like, I like to say I can age without getting older. You don't have to get an old mindset just because you have reached an upper age. Now, you know, in the natural, people might be a little more disinclined to want to hire someone that's a little bit older, but we had a man just recently left here and moved to Florida, and he's in his 60s, and he got a great position. And so a lot of times people will really appreciate your experience.
Yeah.
The experience that you have.
So step out there.
Step out and find out. That's what I always say. The thing you have to realize about stepping out is you have to be willing to be wrong to find out if you're right.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that's really something to think about. It's like we're always so afraid we're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people just stay in things forever that they just don't, it's not even the right place for them anymore because they're not willing to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, then I think you can help Christina with this one. She says, I've been asking God for years what he wants me to do with my life, but he hasn't really revealed anything. Does that mean he wants me to stay where I am? Would God want you to stay in a place where you don't have peace?
No, I don't think God wants you to stay somewhere where you don't have peace. And if you don't have peace, that may be God telling you to move on. And here again, you know, I don't know the details of exactly what she's talking about, but as far as like finding out what God wants you to do, I always say just try some things and pretty soon you'll find what your anointing is. I just was so hungry to serve God and wanted to and was willing to do anything. I even cleaned my pastor's house a couple of times, but that's definitely not my gift. And passed out tracts on the downtown streets of St. Louis and didn't like that. Worked in the nursery. Didn't take long for me and the kids to find out that wasn't it. But when I started teaching, I knew I'd found my niche.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you try something and it doesn't work, don't get discouraged. Just say, well, at least now I know that that's not what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, it's just part of the learning process.
Yeah, sometimes you have to try a few things before you find out what's right. It's kind of like, this came to me, so I'll just believe it's a good example. It's kind of like sometimes when you go to the doctor, sometimes they'll have to try two or three or even four different kinds of medicine before they find what's going to work with your system. And so don't ever just stay in a place where you don't have peace and you don't have grace to be because you're afraid of making a mistake.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have to support ourselves, so you can't be foolish and just, you know, quit your job until you know that you have something. And but there's ways to work around that and do what God wants you to do.
God can make a way where you don't
see
one. This is a question from Jessica. How do you know the difference between God's timing and your own when taking steps forward?
Well,
it's a big one and a hard one.
I always say, take a step and see.
That's great advice.
Yeah, and see if that one works. And then if it does and you can tell God's favors on it, then take another step. We don't have to just go jump off the cliff. You know, we can climb down one rock at a time. And so when, you know, when God called me into ministry, I mean, I started teaching a very small Bible study. And 5 years later, people were still coming. And so then I took a step of faith, and for 1 year I felt like God had told me it was time to quit teaching the Bible studies, and I quit. But then for a year I did absolutely nothing. And so that was a real testing year for me, and it didn't make sense to me at the time, but I look back now, and there were a lot of issues that were settled in my life during that year of not knowing.
Yeah.
Then I went to work at a church, had a little bigger opportunity than finally stepped out into my own ministry. And so it's a little bit at a time.
Yeah, that's good. Question from Belinda. Fear and the what ifs are holding me back. I have my children and my mother to consider. What if I make the wrong choice? How will I know it's God?
Well, sadly, we never know 100% for sure that something's God until you step out and find out. That's why I recommend taking baby steps so you can see what God's anointing is on. Mm-hmm. You know, not knowing each one of these specific situations, it's harder to speak into them because I'm having to speak in general terms. But I mean, when I think about all the risks that I've taken, or even like you, when you left your job and came here, mm-hmm. I mean, you walked away from all your friends, your church, and everything, and you did it based on what was in your heart.
Yeah. And we left a place where we were very content, very happy, and we knew that God was asking us to do something. And so it definitely is taking a risk. And those what ifs are big. You know, what if we're not hearing God right?
Right.
Yeah.
And even when we say we know, it's like it's a different kind of knowing than like knowing for sure in your head this is all going to work out. And sometimes we just get the timing off a little bit, you know. I felt a desire to go on television, and I tried a couple of years before God actually put me on television, and it was just a disaster. It just didn't work at all. So sometimes it's not that what you step out to do is not the right thing. It may just not be the exact right time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody, risk always brings reward. And you always have to make some kind of an investment to reap some kind of a harvest. And so all you can do is the best you can do to hear from God. And I think she said, well, what if you make a mistake? And I believe this wholeheartedly. If your heart is really right and you sought God and done all you know how to do to hear from Him, and you step out into something and it turns out not to be the right thing, I believe God will even use that in your life as experience and help you get yourself back on the right path.
I think you're right. And that's so reassuring that we're not going to miss God.
Yeah.
If we're seeking Him, we're not going to miss Him.
Yeah, like He told me one time, if you miss me, I'll find you.
Yeah.
So
that's good. One more question.
Okay.
This is from Lisa. I can't get past my past. How do I let go so I can move forward with the plan that God has for me?
Well, you know, I don't recommend a lot of reasoning, but sometimes you do have to be reasonable with yourself. And so the thing that comes to my mind is, what good is it doing you to stay stuck in your past? Can you go back and undo what happened? If there's nothing you can do about it, then you have to trust God to somehow work it out for your good. Everybody's got a past, but the key is it's past. Mm-hmm. And we all have a future. God's got a good plan for us and a future. And I think sometimes just, you know, she says, how can I get past my past? Well, the best way is just to head straight into your future. In other words, as she starts taking steps to go forward, then the things that are behind, it'll be easier to leave them behind. First, she may take them with her mentally, but eventually she'll get over that. But if you just stay stuck in the same place and you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, nothing's going to change.
Right.
So you got to start moving forward. You know what the Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind. And he said, and straining or pressing toward the things that are ahead.
So it takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of force. It
takes a little pushing and a little, you know, and I don't mean it like works of the flesh where we're struggling and miserable and frustrated, but there is a decision and there's a stepping out. And I think anytime we step out, the enemy's going to step toward us. Like Paul said, a wide door of opportunity was opened unto me, and with it many adversaries. I say it a little different way, new level, new devil. Mm-hmm. So the enemy's always going to try to keep us from the future that God has planned for us. And everybody gets there the same way. You either step out and you take a risk, or you stay in the same old place, which is okay too if that's what you want to do. But if you really feel like you're supposed to be stepping out, then the only way to find out is to step out.
Right.
But if you do what God tells you to do, the day will come. Do you hear me? The day will come when God will lift you up. And let me tell you, what God lifts up, nobody can put down. You know, we've all got a past, but we've also all got a great future. Like Mephibosheth, we're crippled in our feet too. But it goes on to say that he ended up eating at the king's table the rest of his life, even though he was crippled in both feet. Are you hearing me? Even though we have some weaknesses, even though we have things about us that are not perfect, we can still eat at the king's table. Amen? We have a high priest who understands our weaknesses and our infirmities, because he's been tempted in every point like we have, yet without sinning. If you just get up every day and be determined to do the very best that you can with God's help, and you're quick to repent for anything that you do that's wrong, God can work with you and work with you, and he can do great things through you. How do you feel about yourself? I want you to go out of here fired up and liking yourself. Somebody said to me last week, or they started to say, and I told them I didn't want to know. They said, "We heard that your ministry is bigger than so-and-so's," and they named this really, really super well-known person. And I said, "Well, I rather doubt that, but even if it is, I don't want to know it. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that stuff. There's only two places I want to be famous: in heaven and in hell." Amen. What did the demons say to the guy that was trying to cast him out and couldn't? "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you?" Well, I want him to know who I am. Amen. And I tell you, when you put your pretty little feet on the floor in the morning, hell ought to shake that you woke up one more day to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And all you really have to do to just tear the devil up is just, it's not hard. Just go out there and act like a Christian. Quit being mad at people because they don't treat you the way you think that they should treat you all the time. Get good at forgiveness. Get quick at forgiveness. Make sure that you're famous in heaven and in hell, but don't worry about being famous here. Just let God do whatever he wants to do through you. Because like I said, it doesn't matter if you've got some job where you're in front of people all the time, or if you've got a job behind the scenes where nobody sees you and nobody thanks you and nobody even really cares what you're doing. God cares, and that's the only thing that matters. He cares. There's another guy in the Bible that was a real rascal named Jacob. In Genesis, well, I'll tell you about him a little bit first. He was a schemer, a trickster, a swindler, a liar, and a cheat. Wow. You know, I used to be a pretty good thief. And now here I am preaching all over the world. You say, "A thief? Oh, yeah, I'd steal anything I'd get my hands on." You say, "Why?" You know what? I would steal stuff I couldn't even use and didn't need. But I know now why I did it. I did it when I was a teenager, and it was because my father was sexually abusing me and controlling me. And stealing those things was my way of having control over something. I didn't understand why I was doing it. But you know what? God understood why I was doing it. God understands all your pain and everything in your past. And even if you were a trickster, a schemer, a swindler, a cheat, and a liar like Jacob was, if you'll repent and go in the right direction, God can still do great and mighty things through you. Amen? All right, now listen. You're listening, right? He stole his brother's birthright. He stole the blessing of the firstborn, lived in fear and hiding. But thank God, he finally got tired of it and decided to make a change. Is anybody in here tonight tired of the way you've been living and you're ready to make a change? Don't just come to a conference to just be at another conference. Be ready to make a change. Nothing's going to change in our lives if we're not willing to change. It says in Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22, that same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them across the stream along with everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, I want you to see something there. There comes a time in your life when you're so desperate for God that you're willing to walk away from everything else. Are you hearing me? You remember last night when I said that sometimes the greatest adventure you'll ever live is to let go of something? I want to talk to you about that tonight. Because you can never take hold of the next thing that God has for you if you're not willing to let go of the last thing that he had for you. Maybe it's a group of friends you need to let go of. I can guarantee the people in this room, you would be so much further along with God if you just had some better friends. Anybody? Anybody? Some of you need to go to a different church. Because you don't want to go. You don't get anything out of it. You can't wait till it's over. You're not learning anything. Why do you go? Grandma goes and mama goes. And they're not going to like it if I leave. And so you just sit there and stay spiritually dumb your whole life. Come on. Then sneak a peek at me on TV when nobody's looking. Come on, you gotta at least be bold enough to say, hey, I don't want you guys to be mad at me or to not understand, but something's got to get happening in my life. I've got to learn something about Jesus, and I'm not learning anything where I'm at. I got to go somewhere where I can learn. Now, see, I'm going to have people mad at me because I'm trying to get you out of your churches. I want you to go somewhere where you want to be there, and you learn, and you grow, and people are going to confront you, and if they're going to ask you where you're at. We need to be accountable to somebody. Abraham had to leave where he was at because his family was idol worshipers. And God said, leave everything and go to a place that I will show you. Take that first step of faith before you even know what step two is. He didn't even know where he was going. Let me tell you something. If you want to be all that God wants you to be, he's going to lead you into some stuff that is dangerous. I had a job at a church in St. Louis, and I'd worked there 5 years, and I felt I had this bigger call on my life and that God wanted me to go to the world and preach. And I know it was stupid. I know it sounded dumb. I had no qualification to do that. There's no reason for me to think that I should do that. But, you know, God can make you believe crazy stuff. Amen? Stuff that you even think, am I nuts? Everybody else already does, but you even begin to agree with them and think you may be right. And so I worked there for 5 years and stayed 2 years longer than I should have. And God kept trying to get me to go, get me to go, get me to go. And you know, sometimes God's got to be like the mama eagle. You know, when she's ready for her little eaglets, the cute little furry fuzzy things to fly, if they won't get out of the nest, the first thing she does is she starts pulling all the padding out of the nest. And you made a commitment last night. Maybe you forgot it, but I didn't. Every one of you prayed in here and said, "Here am I, God, send me." Now that means that you're not going to get to just be in your comfortable little padded nest anymore, compromising so you keep all your friends. It means you're going to have to walk away from some stuff, step into some stuff, and learn how to follow God, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, comfortable or not. Let me tell you something. Oh my gosh, I am so glad when I look back at what my life would have been if I would have stayed comfortable back then compared to what it is now. I lost all my friends, got kicked out of my church, was made fun of, people thought I was nuts, but I'm still here. Amen. And I had to walk away from a lot of things, but God's given every one of them back to me. Jacob walked away from everything. He left everything and went and wrestled with God. And somehow in this wrestling match, the angel that he was wrestling with said, "Leave me alone and let me go." And he said, "I will not leave you alone until you bless me." Come on, what kind of boldness is that in prayer? "I will not leave you alone until you bless me." And somehow in the process, the angel touched the hollow of his thigh and he got a limp. And I love this. It says, "So Jacob called the name of the place Penuel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose upon him and he passed Penuel limping because of his hip." So I love it. He got blessed. He went away limping, but he still got blessed. So we're always going to have some kind of a limp. We're always going to have something that is not going to be perfect about us. But that doesn't mean that you can't let God do great things through you. Sometimes we got to let go of some stuff. And all of our life, we're making changes. Things are changing, and we're having to let go of things and take hold of things. And when you let go of things, it's hard, because even if you're following God, sometimes your soul is tied to that thing that you're letting go of. And so when I finally did leave my job at the church, because I stayed 2 years longer than I should have, and so things started getting real uncomfortable for me. And I won't go into all the details of all that, but I finally knew, to the best that I know how to know, I knew, and Dave felt the same way, that we were to take our ministry and go north, south, east, and west. That's what God said to me. Well, sometimes you got to be very childlike, and nobody knew me north, south, east, or west, so I went to North St. Louis, East St. Louis, West St. Louis, and South St. Louis. And I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. I was trying so hard to obey God, so I started a monthly meeting in each end of town. And I had 50 people and 20 people and 70 people, and man, if we hit 100, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And every Sunday when I go to church, at the church where I used to be on staff, I would get depressed. And I'd go home and just feel lonely and depressed. And then I would wonder if I made the right decision. Come on. See, when some of these changes that God is going to ask you to make, some of these things that he may want you to walk away from, you're going to miss them. Even though there's a part of it that you don't want any part of anymore, there's parts of you that are tied to it. And I got so confused, I didn't understand. Well, God, if I did the right thing, then why do I feel like this every time I go there. Is anybody hearing me? Okay. And God finally said to me, you have soul ties to the place. See, sometimes you can physically walk away and you know it's what you should do, but your soul, your mind, your emotions are still tied to the place. And I want you to understand that when God calls you out of something, that doesn't mean that you're going to feel good about it or it's going to feel good all the time. You got to give it a little bit of time. That's like if you walk away from a wrong group of friends that are leading you down a wrong path, you may be lonely for a while. I'm not going to tell you that you won't. You may be lonely, and it may be hard if you're going to be a real Christian when you're not invited to the party anymore. It may be hard to sit home and be lonely. But if you do what God tells you to do, the day will come. Do you hear me? The day will come when God will lift you up. And let me tell you, what God lifts up, nobody can put down. Nobody can put down. And so here's what I'm trying to get at, and I hope this is helping somebody. Because I think there's probably more people here that need to let go of something than those that need to step out into something. I just feel that in my heart. I feel like that there's people here that you're hurting yourself because you don't know how to walk away or how to let go or how to say no or how to stop or how to make a change or how to realize that you're not what you used to be, and that's okay. Life is just a long series of changes. It's a journey, and we're constantly making changes. And everything is beautiful in its time, but when it's not in its time anymore, then it gets ugly. Making that change when you can't do what you used to do. Does anybody need this? See, if you're 20 tonight, you probably don't need this, but you know. Most of you probably need this. You got to make changes. You got to say no. You got to disappoint people. You got to walk away from some stuff. You have to. And so, stepping away from things has felt much more dangerous to me than taking on 5 new things. Does anybody get it? Anybody tell you get it? You know, it's hard to let your kids start making their own decisions, especially when you really believe the decision they're making is wrong and they're not going to listen to you, and you got to just sit back and let them make their own mess. It's hard to stop trying to change people and say, God, if you can't change them, then I certainly can't. I'm taking my hands off. Come on. I said some of you need to let go of some stuff. You need to just stop being the potter. Let all the people off the potter's wheel that you're trying to rework and let God be God. Amen. And when you let go of things that are useless, then you can become more fruitful than you've ever been before in your life. And that's really what we need to be doing more than anything else. Can I tell you the truth? While I'm resting, I'm on television in 2/3 of the world in almost 100 languages. While I'm resting. Because see, what God showed me is you don't want to look at what you're doing today. You want to look at what you've done your whole life. And now you need to start seeing how much use you can get out of all that stuff that you've already got. And I tell you, my team of people, they're taking all these thousands of messages that I've got and breaking them up. They're on podcasts and iPods and U-pads and Wi-Fis and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, I bet you it's just driving the devil crazy. And you can drive the devil crazy too if you'll stop doing what everybody else expects you to do and start doing what you really believe that God wants you to do. Come on. Is anybody bold enough to take that step of faith? Come on, get up on your feet. Is anybody bold enough to take that step of faith and say, "Dear God, I don't know what's going to happen when I do this, but here I am. I'm going to let go so I can take hold." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person here that they will follow the leadership of your Spirit. Be led and guided by you. Let go of what they need to let go of and take hold of what they need to take hold of. In Jesus' name.
We know that as you're listening, a lot of great questions come up, so stay right where you are, because in just a few minutes, Joyce will be answering one of your questions of the day. You do not want to miss it. But first, to recap what Joyce was talking about, it can definitely seem a little scary to take that risk that God is asking you to take, especially if that means letting go of one thing and reaching out to something else. And we often have that time in the middle that we wonder, you know, am I going to fall? But I love Joyce's encouragement that if you do what God wants you to do, He is the one who'll be holding you up. It's kind of like being on a trapeze. You have to let go of the one side before you can grab the other. But without doing that, you don't swing into that future that God wants you to. And He promises to hold on to you. You need to study His Word to understand how this works and what He has to say about it. So today we have some things that will be really helpful for you. We have a teaching called Discover Your Adventure. It's so good. It's really life-changing. It's 16 teachings from our women's conference in 2018. So many good things, so much encouragement, and many, many women are coming away from that with a new adventure in their own life, and men too. So don't forget that if you're just wondering what maybe it is that God wants you to do, this is a great way to figure it all out. And it also comes with a little book called Enjoy Your Journey. That's part of it. You want to love every minute of it, and that's what God wants for you. So check these out today and begin enjoying your journey. All right, let's check out this question on video.
Okay.
Hi, Joyce. My two sisters and mother aren't speaking. How can I help them reconcile their relationship?
Well, his sisters and his mother are not speaking. How can he reconcile their relationship? Well, first of all, he can't do it. He can maybe help them do it. First thing is praying. I think a lot of times we want to know, what can I do? And we need to first realize, God, you're the only one that can really do anything. So God can open a door. He can pray, God, open a door for me to be able to speak to them. Open a door, or if you don't want to use me, then bring them a word in due season from somebody else. Maybe they turn the TV on and it's just the right thing at the right time. I pray a lot for God to bring a word in due season to people. Or this is another prayer that I will pray when people are lost or they're having problems. Send the perfect laborer into their path. You know, a lot of times we want it to be us, but it's not always us.
Right.
And then the other thing that, you know, the man has to realize, it's great that he wants to help, and I pray that God will use him to help, but every person gets to make their own decisions. And even God won't force people to do what's right. So pray that God will open a door for him to talk to them. When he feels that door is open, then maybe try to talk with them. Or maybe even get into a situation by God's grace where they're together for something and you say, come on, let's sit down and talk about this. But don't waste your life being angry.
Right.
But if they're not going to do it, they're not going to do it. But the prayer, I'm telling you what, God can do in one moment what we cannot do in a lifetime. And so I think we need to trade a lot of our trying for a little more praying and leaning on God and watching Him work in our lives.
It's some of the most painful things we go through are when our loved ones are hurting.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you can almost see it on this man's face.
Yeah.
These two people that he loves are not getting along.
Right, and he wants them. And I don't like that when, you know, I mean, thank God all of my children do get along pretty good. They have their little spats and things, and they usually work them out pretty fast. But I don't like that when they're not getting along. But I've tried to get in the middle of it sometimes, and I've had especially one of my sons say, you know what, Mom, we're adults, we'll work this out. So sometimes we have to face the fact that it's not even our job to fix everything, that many times people just have to work things out themselves.
Yeah. And God is good.
And God is good. Amen.